Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me. Lord, as we approach Easter and enter into Holy Week, we stop and pray about all of these events that we are about to commemorate, in which you teach us so many lessons. Holy Week is framed, as it were, by those two great moments of triumph, your entry into Jerusalem, in which all acclaim you as the Son of David, and finally your resurrection, in which those who see you will rejoice, you are alive, their hope has returned. But in between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, your passion and death, your suffering. And in some way, this symbolizes our own life, our own earthly journey. It begins with the triumph of baptism, in which you enter our soul for the first time. You take up residence in it, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We become temples of the Blessed Trinity. Our soul is lit up. We become one with you, members of your body, members of your church. And with that great holiness that you give us with sanctifying grace and your own indwelling. And then we go through life with its ups and downs, its joys and its sufferings and its sorrows. And this is the life of everyone. No one is without some crosses. But all of this leads to the end of our life and our entry into heaven if we are faithful, where all is joy again, where that initial beginning of eternal life, which is baptism, is brought to fulfillment. And we live in you. We are one with you in the Blessed Trinity, along with Our Lady, the angels and all the saints. And Lord, help us to live our life learning these lessons that Holy Week gives us, so that we do not become discouraged when we face the cross, but live in the hope of the resurrection. We can begin our consideration of Holy Week on Palm Sunday. For this, we open the Gospel of St. Mark to the 11th chapter. And we read, "And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." And Lord, that great acclaim of the multitudes, all of those thousands of people who had followed you in your 3 years of your public life, had listened to your preaching, had seen your miracles. Amongst them are these who are there in Jerusalem when you enter in triumph on Palm Sunday. And as you enter Jerusalem, you know that in spite of all of the acclaim that you are receiving, you will be going to suffer. That is why you came. This was the will of the Blessed Trinity, that you should become man in order to redeem us by your death on the cross. But now you accept that acclaim. And Lord, we praise you too. When we look around us at so many who don't know you, so many who insult you by their lives. Perhaps they're not thinking of you, but their lives are so offensive to everything that you stand for. Help us to acclaim you with our words, with our prayers, but with our lives too, that we live in keeping with those commandments that you have given us, that we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we love you. And throughout our life, that our life itself praises you, like those people in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that we live our lives well, that we pray, that we attend Mass, that we live all of our activities in keeping with your will, that all of our good deeds praise you. And then we go ahead to Holy Thursday. And here there are so many lessons. Let us begin with the washing of the feet. St. John describes the scene in the 13th chapter of his Gospel. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "You are not all clean." And Lord, you teach us a great lesson in washing the feet, that lesson of purifying our soul through the sacrament of penance. And Peter, perhaps in his pride, does not want you, the master, to wash him, the poor servant. And so he objects, "You shall never wash my feet." But then, Lord, you tell him, "If you do not wash his feet, he will have no part in you." Is that not symbolic of penance? If you do not wash us clean in that blessed sacrament of mercy, of joy, we have no part in you. We are not in your grace. And so we say, "Lord, wash me. Bathe me in that great sacrament of penance, that I may be clean, that I may be clean all over," as you said to the apostles and to Peter, that we go often to this great sacrament of mercy. We need it. We all sin. And when we can go back and hear those words of absolution, I absolve you from your sins, we know that we are forgiven on earth and in heaven. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, and then what joy. Help us to go often to this sacrament, and especially now as we approach Easter, and to think of those many that we know who haven't been to confession for a long time. Perhaps if we pray for them, offer up little penances for them, and speak with them, we can invite them to go with us to penance, and they will have a truly happy Easter. And then we go on with the passage of the washing of the feet. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And Lord, you are inviting us to serve others, to wash their feet, at least symbolically, by all of our good deeds. So many around us need our help. That kind word, a listening ear, help with their material work in the home, to help our husband or our wife, to help our children with their homework, or to tie their shoes, or to make their bed. That spirit of service which perhaps we shy away from. We don't like to serve, but Lord, you gave us the example. You served the apostles. You washed their feet. You invite us to do the same. "I've given you an example," you say, "that you also should do as I have done to you." And what a great way to live this Holy Week, serving all those around us as you have served us. First in our family, in our workplace, amongst our friends, so many that need us. Lord, help us to see with your eyes, to feel with your heart, to love with you, so that others can see your love through us. And then you institute the Eucharist. And we can read the account in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 11th chapter. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the chalice after supper, saying, 'This chalice is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the chalice, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And Lord, you celebrate the Passover and you change it into the Eucharist, where we will receive your own body and blood. And the Mass that you institute there makes present your sacrifice on Calvary until the end of time. As St. Paul says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the chalice, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time we attend Mass, we are present at Calvary, and we are present in the Last Supper, where we eat your body and drink your blood. Lord, we must thank you for that great gift to the church of your abiding presence, of your giving yourself to us as food and giving us the sacrifice of the new law. In the old covenant, there were those daily sacrifices in the temple. But now you give us the new sacrifice, where the victim is yourself, the Lamb of God, where the priest is yourself. You are the priest who offers yourself in that sacrifice of Calvary, that sacrifice of infinite value. Help us to appreciate the Eucharist, the Mass, communion, and your abiding presence in the tabernacle. Help us to attend Mass often, certainly every Sunday, but during the week as well if we can, daily, if possible. What benefits come when we attend Mass and receive you regularly in Holy Communion. And then, together with the Eucharist, you have ordained the apostles as priests, so that they can do what you have asked them to do. Do this, you say, in remembrance of me. In order to bring about your real presence, they must be ordained as ministers, as priests. And we pray, especially in Holy Week and on Holy Thursday, for all priests, that they may be faithful, that they may be holy, that they may make you present, that there may be other Christs amongst their flock. And we pray for vocations, that there will be many young men who listen to you, who respond to that invitation to make you present down the ages through the priesthood. It is so important that we have many priests, that we have holy priests today, and we all pray for all priests, and for vocations to the priesthood, and for all those in formation in the seminaries. And then, from the institution of the Eucharist in the Last Supper, you go out to your prayer in the garden. And we read the account in St. Matthew's Gospel in the 26th chapter. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And Lord, why is your soul sorrowful, even to death? Why do we describe it as the agony in the garden? Why did you sweat blood? Because you were suffering so intensely. All of those thoughts going through your mind. The physical passion was yet to come, and that was in your mind, the suffering that you would undergo. But that was not the chief cause of your suffering in the garden. It would have been in addition. The thought of all those souls down the ages who would not be saved. You had come and you would die on the cross that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You were going ahead to prepare a place in the Father's house for everyone. You want all to occupy that place that you have prepared for them, and you knew that so many would not be saved. And that must have been a great cause of your sorrow. And then the fact that you were taking our sins on yourself, that you were going before the Father burdened by all the sins of mankind. You were now the murderer. You were the thief. You were the adulterer. And you who are all innocent come before the Father burdened by our sins. That too would have made you suffer. And then the thought that all the apostles would run away. They would desert you, as St. Matthew tells us a few lines later. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. But not only the desertion of all, the betrayal of Judas. and the denials of Peter, more causes of your suffering in that prayer in the garden, and then the suffering of your mother. You know that Mary would be there beside the cross the following day, suffering all that a mother could suffer, watching her son in that agony, in that torture of crucifixion. And Mary stood there beside the cross, sorrowful herself, the sword piercing her heart when it pierced yours. And you knew how much she would suffer, and that made you suffer too in the garden. And Lord, we learned from you to be souls of prayer. You teach us how to pray. You go on and you say to the Father, "My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, this chalice of suffering. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." You identify your will with the will of the Father. You accept suffering. And Lord, help us to accept suffering in our lives because it comes, but to offer it up in union with you, to accept the Father's will. And then Matthew goes on, "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Lord, you find me sleeping, asleep in my spiritual life, lukewarm, not vibrant, not close to you and prayerful. You find me without regular times for prayer each day. We need prayer, as you say. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And how often have we all experienced that, the temptations, and because we are not prayerful, we do not love you enough, we fall. If we prayed more, we would be stronger and not fall so often in those temptations. Lord, help us to be truly souls of prayer. And then from the agony and the prayer in the garden, off to your passion and death. We consider it in the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, following the agony in the garden by the scourging at the pillar, that terrible pain that you suffered in that long scourging, the crowning with thorns and those long sharp thorns piercing your scalp and the blood running down, the carrying of the cross when you were exhausted and you fall 3 times, but you get up again. When your body is saying, I can't do this, I have no more strength, you get up. And then you fall a second time and a third, and again you get up, to teach us that we must carry our cross, that we must go to the end, that we must be a soul of penance. We have been living penance in Lent. Help us to live it well, generously, intensely, especially in Holy Week, to accompany you, carrying our own cross, responding to your invitation to be your disciples by denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following you. We need penance. We have committed so many sins. We need to make up in part at least for those sins. You make up for most of the temporal punishment owing for our sins, but you ask us to do something. And that is why you invite us to take up our cross daily and follow you. Help us to be truly souls of penance, and not only in Lent, and not only in Holy Week, always. Because we always sin, we should always be making up, and it strengthens our will. We will be stronger to withstand temptation if we are more penitential. And then, from the cross, as one of your last acts, you give us your mother. And again, we go to the Gospel of St. John in the 19th chapter, where St. John says, When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And Lord, you give us your most priceless love, your most priceless possession, your very mother. You give her to St. John, and the tradition has always seen in St. John the whole church. You give her to each one of us. Mary is my mother, not just yours, not just the mother of all mankind, the mother of the church, my mother. St. John took her into his own keeping, into his own home. Help me to do that, to realize that Mary is my way to you. We go to Jesus through Mary in that traditional expression. And Mary teaches us all the virtues. As the Second Vatican Council says, we learn so much from Mary, and she is our most powerful intercessor in heaven as your mother. You never said no to her while you were on earth. You won't say no to her in heaven. And how many great miracles have been done through the intercession of Our Lady, as we see at Cana, and as we have seen down the ages. The Battle of Lepanto, where that heavily outnumbered Christian navy defeated the Turkish navy because Christendom was praying the rosary, and so many other military victories. Mary is all powerful. Help us to be Marian. Then we will come closer to you. We will be more like you. And then finally, the resurrection. After all of that sorrow, after all of that suffering, after all of that discouragement of the apostles, finally Easter Sunday comes and you rise. And let us consider your apparition to Mary Magdalene. She has gone with the other holy women to the tomb. They have not found the body. The others have left, as have Peter and John, whom you had called to the tomb to see that it was empty. And then Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not as yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. What joy for Mary Magdalene, seeing you now, recognizing you, getting down on her knees, clasping your feet. And Jesus has to say, "Mary, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." What joy for Mary, what joy for the church, for the apostles, what joy for those two disciples on their way to Emmaus. You have risen. And this is so symbolic of our own life. We will go through life with its crosses, with its Calvaries, but at the end, the resurrection awaits us. We die faithful if we have lived faithful. We will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful in the little things. I will set you over the many. Enter into the joy of your Lord, and we will have that resurrection to eternal life. Mary, our Mother, help us to live well, to live this Holy Week well, to listen and learn the lessons that your Son teaches us, to take you into our own keeping, that you may lead us to heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.